Good morning, brothers and sisters.
弟兄姊妹们, 早.
Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians.
请大家一起跟我翻到哥林多后书, 第五章,
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
哥林多后书, 第五章,
verse 14.
第十四节.
We'll only read the first half.
我们只读前半段.
2 Corinthians 5:14a, for the love of Christ compels us.
哥林多后书 5章14节的前半段, 原来基督的爱激励我们。
Job chapter 32.
约伯记32章,
verse 18.
第18节,
we'll only read the second half.
我们只读后面的半段。
Job 32:18b, the spirit within me compels me.
约伯记32章18节的后半段, 我里面的灵激动我。
Matthew chapter 7.
马太福音第7章,
verse 13 and 14.
第13和第14节。
Matthew chapter 7 verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
马太福音7章13到14节。 你们要进窄门, 因为引到灭亡, 那门是宽的, 路是大的, 进去的人也多, 引到永生, 那门是窄的, 路是小的, 找着的人也少。
Today my burden is to share on this phrase, for the love of Christ constrains us.
像我今天的负担是和大家一起交通, 基督的爱, 那里约束我。
We are quite familiar with this phrase.
我想我们都很熟悉这段圣经。
Very often we hear each other pray this in our prayers.
我们经常会听到我们在聚会当中祷告。
This word that constrained is translated several different ways.
这个词 constrain 有几种不同的翻译。
In Chinese it's interpreted and translated as encourage or compel.
在我们的中文和合本的翻译里面翻译成激励我们，在那里催促我们。
And in newer English versions, like New King James I was reading from, it says compel.
在比较新的英文翻译里面, New King James version, 它翻译成叫做勉强。
In older English versions, like Darby or King James, it's translated as constrain.
在更古老的一些的译本当中, 像Darby的翻译和King James的翻译, 它会翻译成约束。
So I looked up the Greek word.
我去查了一下希腊的原文。
The Greek word in 2 Corinthians means to press on every side.
这个希腊的原文在哥林多后书5章14节, 它的意思是说在各方面都施加压力。
And pressing on every side in order to force a ship into a narrow channel.
好像在那里说从各方面都在那里施加压力, 能够让一个船进到一个窄的航道里面。
We know that a boat is not supposed to get stuck in a narrow channel.
我们都知道一个船不应该好像卡在一个狭小的航道当中。
I'm sure boats doesn't like to be constrained in a narrow channel.
我很确定一个船一定不喜欢被卡在一个窄的航道里面。
Forcing a ship into a narrow channel comes with a purpose.
要来施加力量把一个船推过一个窄的航道是有一个目的的。
It is to get to the other side.
是要过到另外一边。
Therefore, this constraint actually is a positive kind of constraint.
所以这一个的约束和压力其实是一个积极的约束和压力。
This constraint is not for constraint's sake.
这个约束不是为了约束而约束。
And this constraint is not to hold us back.
这个约束也不是要让我们被拽回来。
But this constraint is to drive us forward.
这一个约束是要把我们推过到另一边去。
And I think that's why in several Chinese or English translations, it carries a positive meaning of driving us forward.
我想这就是为什么很多的英文译本和我们中文的和合本里面，这一个是一个积极的意思，要带我们过到另一边去。
The Hebrew word used in Job chapter 32.
在约伯记32章里面，它用到的是希伯来文。
It pretty much means the same thing.
基本上是一样的意思。
I looked up the word, it means bring into a strait, where strait means a narrow waterway.
我去查了一下这个希伯来的原文, 基本上也是说把它 带过一个窄的地方。
No, and this word straight is not in the word straight line.
这一个 straight 它不是说好像一个直线。
It's spelled differently. It's often used in the word straight jacket, as in tying people's arms up because they're violent or insane and you don't want them to hurt themselves or other people.
啊，这个词它的拼写和直线的那个拼写不一样，它是窄的意思，经常会用到像我们穿的那个紧身衣，要来保护我们不受伤。
Therefore, this constraint, again, is with a purpose.
所以这一个的约束是带有一个目的的。
Today, I would like us to consider living a life constrained by the love of Christ.
今天我想跟弟兄姊妹一起来思想，基督的爱在那里约束我们。
Allow me to use the word constraint, even though in our various versions it's translated differently.
请你们允许我来用这个约束的词，尽管在我们中文翻译里面是另外的翻译。
And every time when I say constraint, you can remember all these meanings that comes with the Greek and the Hebrew words.
每一次当我说到 constraint 这个词的时候，请你们都要记得希腊文跟希伯来文的意思。
I just mentioned the word straight, in straight jacket.
我刚才有提到那个 straight 窄跟紧身衣。
That word is, if we think about it, we often think of Matthew chapter 7.
如果我们来思想那个词，我们经常联想到的就是马太福音第七章。
It says, enter through the straight gate, straight meaning narrow.
就是我们要进窄门，那个 straight 就是窄的意思。
Indeed, in King James it's translated straight.
在 King James 的译本里面，它翻译的就是窄。
And the verse after, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, that narrow is again translated straight in Darby.
在后面那个他说到路是小的，那一个小也翻译成 straight 就是窄。
In other words, when we live a life that is constrained by the love of Christ.
换一句话说，当我们活在的生活里面是因着基督的爱而限制约束我们的时候。
Then it is as we go through, enter through the narrow gate.And walk on the narrow way.
就好像我们在那里进窄门，走窄路。
And we are already very familiar with entering through the narrow gate and walking on the narrow way.
我想我们已经非常熟悉说我们要进窄门，走窄路。
So I do not have an intention to share with you a novel doctrine.
我在这里没有意思想要跟大家来分享只是教义方面的东西。
A novel doctrine.Not a new doctrine.
不是一个新的教训。
But rather that we would consider the lessons that we have already heard.
我们而是要来重新思想我们以前所已经知道的教训。
The fundamental spiritual principles and spiritual exercises.
这个根基的教训，我们属灵的根基和操练。
That through the lens of living a life that is constrained by the love of Christ.
通过这一条线，我们因着基督的爱而约束我们。
Now, let me briefly mention that humans don't like to be constrained.
让我来很简单的来讲一下，我们人都不喜欢被人约束。
But I'm sure there are certain times when we want to be constrained.
但我很确定我们在某些时候却是希望能够得到约束的。
I'll give you three simple examples.
我想给大家三个很简单的例子。
When you're in a car, you probably want to wear seatbelts.
当我们坐在车里的时候，我们都希望能够系上安全带。
Perhaps you want the safety that comes from being constrained by the seatbelt.
我想我们很希望能够得到因安全带带给我们的约束而有安全。
Or perhaps you want to be a law-abiding citizen.
或者你希望能够成为一个合法的居民。
A second example is when you're about to go into battle.
第二个就是说当我们要去打仗的时候
You might gird your waist in order to have more strength.
我们要束紧我们的腰带能够让我们这个人有力量。
Our brother mentioned this a few weeks ago that this is a biblical principle, also a practical advice.
我们的弟兄前几周也提到这是一个圣经当中属灵的原则也是对我们的一个引导和建议。
So if you're about to go into battle withheavy furniture, you would gird your waist.
如果我们要上战场， 要扛着一个很重的器具，我们需要束紧我们的腰带。
Now, a third simple example is when we're consider various options.
啊，第三个例子就是当我们在那里考虑很多的选择的时候。
If there are too many, maybe we actually welcome some constraints to narrow it down.
如果现在的选择是非常多的话，我们可能心中是希望能够有一些限制，帮助我把选择变得少一些。
Because that gives us guidance, that gives us direction.
因为那样会给我们方向，给我们引导。
I actually see this a lot in my students.
啊，我想我在我的学生当中经常看到这样的情况。
Every time I teach them multiple methods of solving a math problem.
每一次当我教他们有很多的方法来解决一个数学问题的时候。
They want me to constrain them into using only one method.
他们很希望我能够限制他们只来用一个方法。
Because they don't want to think about which one is better.
因为他们不想去在那里想去比较哪一个是更好的。
And they trust me to tell them the best way.
他们相信我能够告诉他们哪一个方法是最好的。
Now these three simple examples when we actually like to be constrained.
这三个例子是说到我们希望受到限制。
These will actually come up in correspondence with certain biblical principles that we'll discuss in a moment.
啊，我们在之后要提到的例子当中，也是因着这三件事情简单的原则，我们希望得到限制。
But actually, I do not want to make explicit correspondence between them.
啊，我想我不会提到很具体的一些联系。
Because no matter whether biblical principles relate to these three, they are biblical principles that we should pay attention to.
因为不管是什么样的圣经的原则联系到这三件事上，我们都应该因着是圣经的原则而注意它。
Now, I think that's enough of an introduction.
我想我的开始的介绍就到这里。
Let's consider living a life that is constrained by the love of Christ.
让我们一起来思想，我们过一个因基督的爱而限制我们的生活。
For the sake of organization, I'll approach it from three different aspects.
我想从为着我们的结构来讲，我会从三个方面来讲到今天的主题。
Let's consider the prerequisite for being constrained by the love of Christ.
我们第一点先提到基督的爱限制我们的先决条件。
Then we'll get to the process of being constrained.
然后我们会讲到那个因基督的爱限制我们的过程。
And then we'll reach the purpose of being constrained by the love of Christ.
我们再会最后提到因基督的爱限制我们他的目的。
So these are three P's, prerequisite, process, and purpose.
这是三个方面，前提、过程，还有目的。
Let's turn to Numbers chapter 6.
让我们一起来看民数记第六章
Verse 1 and 2
民数记第六章一到二节
Numbers 6:1 Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying Speak to the children of Israel and say to them When either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord
民数记第六章一到二节耶和华对摩西说你晓谕以色列人说无论男女许了特别的愿就是拿细耳人的愿要离俗归耶和华。
The first part of verse 3, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink.
第六章第三节的前半部分他就要远离清酒浓酒。
The first half of verse 5, all the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head.
第六章第五节的前半部分在他一切许愿离俗的日子不可用剃头刀剃头。
Verse 6, all the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body.
第六节，在他离俗归耶和华的一切日子，不可挨近死尸。
Verse 8, all the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord.
第八节，在他一切离俗的日子，是归耶和华为圣。
If we think of someone who, is constrained a lot,
如果我们想到，如果一个人他经常受到约束，
And also gains a lot of strength.
而且因着得到约束而得着力量。
Then we would think of Samson.
我们可能会想到参孙。
We know the story of Samson very well, so I will not recap it too much.
因为我们很熟悉参孙的故事，所以我不会提到很多。
We know that Samson was a Nazarite.
我们知道参孙他是一个拿细尔人。
From verse 2 here, we see that Nazarite comes with consecration and separation.
我们从刚读到的第二节看到，一个拿细尔人，他是要离俗、奉献、归给耶和华为圣。
In fact, the word Nazarite means consecrated and separated.
这个拿细尔词的意思就是归耶和华为圣，奉献、分别。
So we see that the prerequisite for living a life constrained is of consecration.
我们能够过一个因基督的爱而受限制的生活，它的先决条件就是分别为圣，奉献归给主。
And this is due to a very simple reason.
这因为一个非常简单的原因。
God constrains only those that belong to him.
神只在那里限制约束那些属于他的人。
Just like parents would discipline their own kids, but inappropriate to discipline other people's kids.
就像父母只会在那里管自己的孩子，不会去管别人的孩子。
Or God only disciplines those who belong to him.
而且我们的神也是只在那里约束管教属于他的人。
Now we're very familiar with consecration being the first step in our Christian journey.
我们都很熟悉，奉献是我们基督徒生活的起步。
I suppose we need to believe the Lord first, but let's call that step zero. The most important step is consecration.
当然我们都知道，最早的起步我们应该先信主，但是真正基督徒生活的起步是从奉献开始。
And someone who's consecrated, someone who's consecrated will live a disciplined life.
一个奉献归给主的人，他就会活在一个受管制、受约束的生活当中。
We see a lot of things that a Nazarite needs to follow.
我们看到拿细尔人在他的生活当中有很多的事，他要遵循那个规则。
And we know there's a spiritual meaning behind all these regulations.
我们都知道这些规则的背后都有它属灵的意义。
Someone who's about to serve the Lord cannot be influenced by the world.
一个要来服侍主的人，他不能在那里受世俗的影响。
He cannot be indulging the flesh.
他不能在那里放纵他的肉体。
He cannot rebel against God's authority.
他不能在那里抵挡悖逆神的权柄。
We know that God's heart is for everyone to serve him.
我们知道神的心意是要让我们每一个人都来服侍他。
We recall that originally God wanted Israel to be a kingdom of priests.
我们知道我们的神希望以色列国能够成为一个侍奉他的国家。
So then after the incident of the golden calf, only the tribe of Levi could serve the Lord.
但是因着金牛犊事情的发生，只有利未支派能够享有侍奉耶和华的权利。
Or maybe that's what we usually think of.
或许那是我们经常所以为的。
So we also remember that God left another way for everyone to serve him, that is the vow of the Nazarite.
但是我们还要记得，神给了拿细尔人的愿，就是希望我们每一个人都能归给他，来侍奉他。
And there are some people who are Nazarites for a portion of time in the Old Testament.
我们看到在旧约里面有一些人只是在一段时间里面成为拿细尔人。
Because that is allowed by the rules of being a Nazarite.
因为那是在旧约里面拿细尔人的作为拿细尔人的一个规则。
But there are some who are Nazarites all their lives.
但是也有一些人他们一生都是拿细尔人。
We know Samson is one, we know Samuel is another.
我们知道参孙是一个，还有撒母耳也是一个。
Every time when I think of Samson, I don't really know what to think of him.
每次当我想到参孙的时候，我不太知道我能够提到他什么。
His life seems to be plenty of failures.
他的生活对我来说经常是充满失败的。
Just because for some small reason he decides to tell people that he shouldn't have his hair shaved.
就是因为一些原因，他告诉人他的头发不能被啊剪掉。
And therefore he lost all his strength and got captured.
啊，所以他后来就失去了他的力量，被人绑起来了。
But we know that later on, when his hair started growing out.
那我们知道到后来他的头发又长起来的时候。
And he prayed a prayer to the Lord.
他向着主有一个祷告。
And in today's terms, maybe you would say that he renewed his consecration.
用我们今天的话来说，就是他更新了他在主面前的奉献。
He acknowledged his failures.
他承认他所有的失败。
And he told the Lord that he wants to be used by him once more.
但是他告诉主，我还希望能够再被你使用一次。
And we know that the Lord was gracious and allowed him to be used one more time.
我们知道我们的主蛮有恩典，答应了他的祷告，再一次使用他。
And in his death, he even killed more Philistines than when he was alive.
在他死的时候，他甚至杀了更多的非利士人。
The reason why I want to bring this up is to remind us that the first step is consecration.
我想我提到这些事的原因是想告诉大家，这个过约束生活的前提先决条件就是奉献。
Now, let's spend some more time looking at the process of being constrained by the love of Christ.
我想我们会花多一些的时间来提到因着主基督的爱过约束生活的那个过程。
Because that is the process that we're going through right now.
因为那一个过程也是我们现在所经过的过程。
Let's turn to Acts chapter 16.
我们一起翻到使徒行传十六章。
Verse 6 and 7.
使徒行传十六章六和七节。
Acts chapter 16 verse 6. Now when they had gone throughPhrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them.
使徒行传十六章六到七节，圣灵既然禁止他们在亚细亚讲道，他们就经过弗吕加、加拉太一带地方，到了美亚细亚的边界，他们想要往毕推尼去，耶稣的灵却不许。
So we see this is a recording of part of Paul's missionary journey.
我们看到这是圣经所记载部分保罗的他的布道旅程。
In verse 6, the Holy Spirit forbade him to preach the word.
我们看到第六节说圣灵禁止他在那里讲道。
And verse 7, the Spirit of Jesus did not permit him to go a certain place.
第七节说到耶稣的灵却不允许保罗去到别的地方。
From these verses, we can see two aspects of our God.
我们从这两节看到两方面关于我们的神。
One is that our God is a God of principles.
第一个就是我们的神是有原则的神。
The second is our God is a God of exceptions.
第二个就是我们的神他也有在例外和特殊情况当中。
We know that preaching the gospel is a good thing.
我们都知道传讲神的话是一件好的事情。
In fact, preaching the gospel to the Gentiles was a specific mission that was given to Paul.
我们也知道向外邦人传道也是保罗从主那里领受的一个负担。
But at this specific time and place, God told him to not preach the word.
但在这里这个特殊的时间和地点，圣灵却禁止他这么做。
These were not in contradiction with one another.
这两件事情不是互相在那里抵触的。
God has his general principles.
我们的神有他普遍的原则。
And because God is eternal, his principles don't change either.
因为我们的神是永远的神，他的原则是不会改变的。
But at the same time, he could give very specific direction to each circumstance.
但是在所经历的每一个特殊的环境当中，神都会有他特别的引导。
Therefore, this brings us to how we can live our daily lives.
所以这个也是在那里教导我们 我们今天该如何过我们的生活。
The process of being constrained will involve certain spiritual exercises that we're familiar with.
这个受限制的生活的过程啊，牵扯到很多属灵的操练。
From one direction, we need to know God's principles.
一方面，我们需要知道神的原则是什么。
Of course, the easiest way to know His principles is to study His Word.
我们当然知道最简单的方法就是我们在那里查考圣经。
You know, there are a lot of rules in the Old Testament time.
我们知道在旧约的时候有很多的规条。
We know that following those rules will not bring us closer to Christ.
我们知道只是跟从那些规条不会把我们带到基督的面前。
But we also know that these rules all point towards Christ.
但我们同样也知道所有这些的规条它在背后都是指向主基督的。
When we study his words, we can see God's character.
当我们在那里查考主的话语的时候，我们就能够看到神的性情是怎么样的。
We can see his desires. We can see his purpose.
我们也能看到什么是神所要的和他的目的是什么。
Of course, when we study his word, we need to come with the right attitude.
当然，我们在查考神话语的时候我们需要有一个正确的态度。
Coming with a true desire, wanting to know him.
我们里面要有一个真的渴慕，要来认识他。
And once we grab hold of his principles, so let those principles be real in our everyday lives.
当我们抓住主的原则的时候，要让那个原则在我们的生活当中能够成为实实在在的。
This is not merely an academic exercise to expound on.His words.
这里不是说好像我们像学术考察一样在那里分析钻研他的话。
And it is also not some kind of daily chore where we want to check off a box in our yearly Bible reading plan.
也不像我们好像每天需要完成的一项事物一样，我们在那里画格子，我们一年好像读过圣经。
No, I see my students coming to ask me questions.
我看到我的学生们来问我问题。
And I can see that they come with different attitudes.
我能够看到来的人是带着不同态度来的。
Someone might come and say, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit a good grade?"
有些人他来到我面前就说，好老师，我应该做什么能够拿一个好成绩。
And then if I say something and he cannot do it, he will go away sad.
如果我告诉他你需要做某些事情，但因为他做不到，他就悲悲伤伤地离开了。
There are other people who come like the Pharisees and basically want to show off or challenge me.
也有一些人就像那些法利赛人一样，他们来找我就是在那里要挑战我。
And some come essentially to complain to me that I've already done all these, how come I don't have a good grade?
有些人他来到我这里就是在向我抱怨，我都已经做了这么多，为什么没有一个好成绩呢？
I can easily see where they're coming from.
我能够很清楚的在那里分辨到他们的态度是如何的。
And if they don't actually want to hear my suggestions, I won't bother spending a lot of time giving them suggestions.
如果他们不是真的要来问我的建议的话，我不会在那里浪费时间说很多告诉他们。
If someone so limited like myself can tell the difference between students, how much more can our Lord tell our true intentions?
如果像我一个这么有限的人都能够给我的学生一些引导，那我们的主能够给我们多少的引导呢？
So may our hearts really be true when we come to the Lord.
愿我们的心每一次来到主的面前都是真诚的。
I believe then he can reveal more of himself through his word to us in our daily Bible reading.
我相信我们带着这样的态度每天在那里读他的话语，神就会更多把他自己启示给我们。
Now the other aspect I wanted to mention is that God is a God of exceptions.
另外一方面想提到的就是我们的神他也有特例的引导。
And if you don't like the word exceptions, you can think of it as guidance.
如果你不是很喜欢这个特别的话，你可以就用到引导这个词。
Let's think about Jesus, when he was on this earth.
我们来一起思想一下，当我们主耶稣活在地上的时候。
He seems to heal a lot of people on the Sabbath.
他在安息日治愈过很多有病的人。
Do you think he was so busy with his ministry that he lost track of the day?
是不是以为主耶稣因为太忙了，所以他没有在那里记下日子，而在安息日去治人呢？
Or maybe he's too proud to care about the rules of the Sabbath.
或许他太骄傲了，他根本不想在乎安息日的规矩。
It's neither of those.
这两个都不是这样的。
We know that the Lord, purposely healed on the Sabbath for a reason.
我们知道我们的主是带着目的在安息日去治愈那些生病的人。
To make a statement.
是要给我们一个原则。
He tells people that the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.
他告诉人，人子才是安息日的主。
And he wasn't trying to abolish the law.
我们的主没有在那里要去故意废除安息日的律法。
And even though what he did seems on the surface to be against the rules.
虽然好像表面上来看，我们的主好像和律法所说的相悖。
But he's actually the one who fulfilled the law.
但他却是那一个成就律法的人。
We also see an example of David.
我们也看到大卫的例子。
When he was fighting against the Philistines,
当他在那里和非利士人打仗的时候，
there are two opportunities for him to attack, when the Philistines were at the Valley of Rephaim.
我们看到有两次的机会在利伐因谷，大卫可以去攻打非利士人。
The first time he asked the Lord, should I go attack them?
第一次他问主，我是不是应该上去攻打他们？
And the Lord says, go indeed.
我们主告诉他，对，你现在就上去。
The second time, the exact same situation.
第二次是跟第一次完全一样的情况。
David asked the Lord again.
大卫又来问主。
The Lord says, now go to the back and attack from the back.
这一次我们的主告诉他，你要转回到他们的后面，从后面上去攻打。
Now, perhaps, we see from this that God is a very good military strategist.
我们也许会看到在这两个情况当中，我们的主好像是一个很有军事领导才能的人。
He knows that the Philistines now expect them to come from the front, so you better go to the back.
他这次好像提前知道非利士人会从前面攻打，所以他告诉大卫，你要绕到后面去攻打他们。
I don't actually know the reason. The reason is unimportant.
我不知道原因是什么，但是这个原因不是重要，不是最重要。
The point is that David asked the Lord a second time.
我这里想提到重点的是，大卫第二次在求告主。
It wasn't because he didn't learn his lesson from the first time.
这里不是说他好像第一次没有学到他要学的功课。
He knows God's principle is that David needs to fight against the Philistines.
他知道神的原则是要他去攻打非利士人。
But in terms of the specifics, he knows that he needs to ask the Lord.
但是在这一次特殊的战事当中，他需要再次来到主的面前寻求。
And this is not strange for David.
这一个对大卫来说不是一个奇怪的事情。
Because David spent a lot of time with the Lord.
因为大卫是花了很多的时间在那里亲近主。
He is close to the Lord.
他与主的关系是很近的。
Therefore, he talks to the Lord all the time.
所以他每一次经常的会与主在那里讲话。
The Bible doesn't record this.
圣经没有特别的记下这件事。
But I would imagine David wasn't spending a lot of time trying to figure out whether he should ask the Lord this question or not.
但我想大卫不是好像花了很多的时间在那里想，我是不是应该需要问主。
if he's talking to the Lord all the time, of course he's going to mention this to the Lord.
如果他经常在那里和主讲话，他一定会把他心中所求的告诉主。
So something for us to practice in our daily living.
所以对我们的生活当中有一些很实在的事情我们需要操练。
Even if we know his general principles,
即便我们是知道神普遍的原则，
we still want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
我们仍然要在我们的里面对圣灵的引导是有一个敏感的感觉的。
Again, of course, we are quite familiar with this basic spiritual exercise.
我想我们对这个很基本的属灵的原则都是很熟悉的。
We know that the Holy Spirit speaks in a still small voice.
我们都知道圣灵是在用微小的声音向我们讲话。
We know that we need to be quiet before him.
我们知道我们要在他的面前安静下来。
We know that the Holy Spirit is very gentle.
我们知道圣灵是很柔细的。
So we need to come with a willing heart.
我们需要带着一个愿意的心。
Otherwise, he doesn't always force us.
否则我们圣灵是不会在那里强迫我们去做什么。
I want to mention a third aspect.
我想提到第三个点。
That we need to have no hindrance between us and our Lord.
我们和主的关系之间不能有隔阂，有阻挡。
When I was growing up, I quite liked drinking milk tea.
我想用奶茶作为一个例子。
Actually, I still like drinking milk tea today.
即便在今天，我还是很喜欢喝奶茶。
But when I was growing up, I would be living in my parents' house, like kids do.
当我小的时候，我是住在我父母的家里面，像所有的孩子一样。
And my mother would not like the fact that I drink too much milk tea.
我的母亲是不喜欢我喝太多奶茶的。
She would actually buy me milk tea, so she is fine with me drinking some milk tea.
她是愿意给我买奶茶。他也愿意我能够适量的喝奶茶。
But in order for me to not worry her,
但是为了我不要让她担心。
Out of love,
是因为她对我的爱。
No, out of my love towards her.
因为我对我母亲的爱。
So I would sometimes bring milk tea secretly into my room to drink.
所以我很多时候是偷偷的拿着奶茶到我自己的房间里面去喝。
So that the number of times my mother sees me drinking milk tea would be more appropriate.
所以很多时候我的母亲看到我那样喝奶茶的时候其实是很不合适的。
Now the frequency at which she noticed that I drink milk tea would be more reasonable.
她会看到我喝奶茶的那个好像多次发生的频率。
That the frequency will be less because I secretly bring milk tea into my room.
因为我都是偷偷的带到我的房间里面，所以我喝奶茶的次数好像是变少了。
Indeed. And when my mother comes to talk to me when I'm in my room drinking milk tea,
当我的母亲来到我的房间里面和我谈到喝奶茶的这件事，
she's not talking about milk tea. She just comes when I'm drinking milk tea.
他不是要来那里跟我说喝奶茶，而是当我喝的时候，他就来到我的面前。
Then I would be very careful to stand in between her and the milk tea, so she won't see the milk tea.
所以我就会站在他和奶茶的前面，挡住奶茶，所以母亲就不会看到。
So during our conversation, my mind would be partially focused on blocking her view.
所以我跟我母亲谈话的很多的时候，我就在那里思想要去挡住我后面的奶茶，不要让她看见。
I would also somewhat be dismissive and try to get her to leave.
我很想用一些方法让她赶紧能够离开我的房间。
I know some kids like their parents to leave anyway.
我知道很多的一些孩子们可能希望他的父母马上离开。
But I wasn't one of those kids.
但我不是那样的孩子。
In fact, when people ask me who my best friends were, I would say my father and my mother.
如果有人会问我你最好的朋友是谁，我会告诉他们是我的父亲和母亲。
Well, I really enjoy talking to my mother.
我是非常享受和我的母亲谈话。
But not when I'm in the middle of drinking milk tea.
但当我在喝奶茶的时候，我是不想跟她谈话。
And I would certainly not invite her into my room to have a deep conversation.
我当然也不会在这个时候邀请她来到我的房间，跟她有一个长谈。
I'm sure you know where this is going.
我想你们都知道我为什么提到这件事情。
In our lives, perhaps we have something akin to milk tea before our Lord.
我想在我们的生活当中也有很多的事情就像喝奶茶一样。
The more dangerous thing is maybe it's even okay to be drinking milk tea.
最可怕的是有可能喝奶茶这件事情本身没什么。
But that might hinder us from coming before the Lord.
但是那件事情可能成为我们来到主面前的拦阻。
So I would encourage you after today's meeting.
我希望在今天结束聚会之后，我鼓励大家。
Actually, frequently in our daily lives.
我们需要经常的在我们日常生活当中来学习。
We can come before the Lord and ask him about these hindrances.
我们可以来到主的面前来问主，是不是有一些东西拦阻了我到你的面前来。
If it's something simple we're aware of course we already know.
如果这些事情只是一些我们显而易见的事情，我们一定很容易知道。
But there may be things that are not sinful and we might not be aware of them.
但也许会有一些事情它可能不是罪，但我们里面是不知道的。
But if we come quietly before our Lord and ask.
如果我们安静地来到主的面前来问他。
And our Lord can put his finger on something that we need to work on.
如果我们的主在我们的生活当中对某些事情有指点的话，我们要听从他的引导。
Perhaps it's something that we need to work on this week.
也许是这一周我们需要做某些事情。
Maybe it's something bigger that takes a month or a year to deal with.
也许这件事情可能需要花上一个月甚至一年来花功夫学习。
And when we come before the Lord, he can reveal these things to us.
当我们来到主的面前，他会向我们显明这件事。
Perhaps we'll be reminded of Paul saying there are things that are permissible but not profitable.
也许我们在那样的情况里面就会像保罗的感觉是什么事情都可做但不是都有益处。
So what are things that are profitable for us to have a good relationship with our Lord?
什么事情对我们来说是有益处的对于我们与主之间的交通。
Don't just come to the Lord and ask whether it's permissible or not.
我们不要带着一个态度来到主的面前只是在那里问这件事情可不可以做。
Come and ask what is profitable.
我们要来到主的面前问什么是对我们有益处的。
Or if we think of what the author of Hebrews says,
或许我们想到希伯来书的作者。
He says that we need to lay down every sin and weight that entangles us.
我们需要放下那些缠累我们的罪。
Sin and weight.
那些缠累我们的罪和重担。
And so apparently there are these weights that are not sin.
我们明显地看到那些重担它不是罪。
But they will prohibit or hinder us from coming to the Lord.
但是那些重担成为我们来到主面前的拦阻。
Maybe we would try to be dismissive and send the Lord away when he is trying to speak to us.
也许我们当主想要跟我们讲话的时候我们就想让主赶紧离开。
We won't invite him in for a deep conversation.
我们不会邀请主来到我们的心中和主有深层次的交谈。
Therefore, we have to deal with these hindrances.
所以我们需要在主的面前来对付这些事情。
In relation to this exercise,
当谈到这些操练的时候
I remember another one that's related.
我想到还有一些事情是和这件事情有联系的。
I remember Brother Philip shared with us maybe 5 years ago at a retreat.
我记得当我们中立恩弟兄可能五年前在夏令会的时候和我们分享到
that we need to guard the presence of the Lord.
我们需要保守主的同在。
And his sharing has been very helpful to me in the days since.
他的交通自从五年前对我就一直有很大的帮助。
We know that in the Old Testament times, God's presence might lead people.
我们都知道在旧约的时候, 神的同在是可以离开他的子民的。
That's why David had that famous prayer of take not thy Holy Spirit away from me.
这就是为什么大卫有那一个大家都很熟悉的祷告, 不要把你的圣灵从我里面拿走。
That's no longer an appropriate prayer for us because we know he doesn't do that anymore to us.
我们知道今天那个祷告对我们来说是不合适的, 因为我们都知道神不会把他的圣灵从我们里面拿开。
But even if the objective truth is that he will not leave us,
即便好像客观的真理是说神的圣灵不会离开我们,
in our subjective reality, we need to guard his presence.
但是在我们这边主观的责任, 我们需要在那里保守神的存在。
In Exodus chapter 33,
在出埃及记第33章,
Moses was, we will not read it.
我们现在就不读了。
Moses was about to lead the Israelites away from Mount Sinai.
摩西要从西乃山上下来。
This is after the incident of the golden calf.
这是在造金牛犊事件之后。
Moses was about to lead the Israelites away from Mount Sinai.
摩西是要带领以色列人离开西乃山。
Before that, he prayed three prayers, he asked three requests of the Lord.
在那天离开之前, 他向着主有三个要求。
The first is, show me your way.
第一个就是指示我你的道路。
The third was, show me your glory.
第三个就是向我显明你的荣耀。
I think we remember these.
我想我们都记得。
And the second was a conditional.
第二个是有条件的。
He says, if your presence does not go with us, then do not send us away.
他说到, 如果你的同在不和我们一起去, 那你就不要打发我们去。
If you turn this around, the contrapositive says, if you want to send us away, go with us.
如果你反过来看, 就是说你如果要打发我们去, 那你的同在就要和我们一起去。
Our brother Philip reminded us that in the Old Testament time, his presence is symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant.
我们中原弟兄提到在旧约当中, 神的同在是通过约柜来预表。
The Israelites will often carry the Ark into battle.
以色列人经常会扛着约柜在战事当中。
But there are times when God did not allow them to carry his ark into battle.
但也有的时候神不要他们抬着约柜在战争当中。
Because God didn't want to go.
因为神他不愿意去。
And the Israelites sometimes foolishly went and attacked anyway.
但是以色列人很多时候是很愚昧的,他们就上去打仗了。
And the results are sometimes quite disastrous.
所以很多时候那个的结果, 是非常可怕的。Once
they even forced the Ark of the Covenant into battle.
有一次他们是勉强着约柜来到战争当中。Our
brother Philip reminded us that we should have this imagery in our head.
我们的中立人弟兄提醒我们, 我们需要有一个画面。We
do not carry the, we do not physically carry the Ark of the Covenant with us, of course.
我们今天当然不是好像在那里实际的抬着约柜。
That even thinking about whether we should bring the ark with us can help us discern what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing.
但是如果我们带着一个态度, 经常在那里思想我们是否要抬着主的约柜来到, 战争当中, 那对我们是很有益处的。
If we're about to go somewhere physically,
如果我们好像要去到某些地方,
do we want to carry the ark with us there?
我们是不是想抬着神的约柜和我们一起去呢?
I think this imagery and thought experiment can really help us discern.
我想这一个画面经常是可以很实在的帮助到我们 在我们实际的情况当中。
Remind us to consider His preferences.
来提醒我们神他所要的是什么。
Remember His ways.
来提醒我们神的路是怎么样的。
If we're thinking about His covenant,
如果我们想到他的约,
perhaps we will be reminded of certain things we should do or shouldn't do.
也许我们就会被提醒到有一些事情是我们应该做的，有一些事情是我们不应该做的。
Perhaps He can even constrain what we say and do not say.
也许我们在交谈当中，我们说什么或不说什么就会受到约束。
Have you ever been talking to someone and then suddenly realize someone is walking past you so you don't say something anymore?
你们有没有经历到很多时候你在和一个人谈话的时候，但这个同一时间突然有人从你旁边经过，你就突然闭嘴不讲话了。
Well, our Lord is with us, next to us. If we're mindful of that, there will be certain things that we won't say anymore.
我们的主是一直在我们的旁边，如果我们能够受提醒时常想到这件事情，我们很多的话语是不敢在那里放纵乱讲的。
Perhaps even more, He could constrain what we think and what we don't think.
也许更多的、更深的，我们的主可以在那里约束我们的心思、我们的意念。
We need to consider these aspects in balance.
我们需要在主的面前来平衡的看这件事情。
We need to know God's principles and we need to follow His exceptions, His guidance.
我们需要知道神普遍的原则，我们也需要在特殊的情况里面跟随他的引导。
We cannot say that we study His word, we know His principles, so we don't need to talk to Him anymore.
我们不能够说我已经读过圣经，知道他普遍的原则是什么，所以我就不来求问主。
But also do not flip it around and say, I will just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so I don't need to read His word at all.
我们也不要说在那里我们好像只在那里跟从所谓圣灵的引导，我们就不去读主的话语。
Because we know the Holy Spirit often uses the written word to speak into our hearts.
因为我们都知道圣灵经常是借着那些已经写在圣经当中的话语来引导我们。
So in other words,We want to spend time to know Him.
所以换一句话说，我们需要花时间来认识我们的主。
So we also need to spend time with Him.
我们也需要花时间来亲近他。
Knowing His principles, but also hearing His specific direction.
知道他普遍的原则，我们也需要在那里听，在当下主对我们的引导是怎样的。
Let us come to the third portion.
好，我们现在来到第三点。
To look at the purpose that we can attain.
我们要看到我们被约束的目的。
Turn to Genesis chapter 14.
我们请翻到创世纪十四章。
Verse 22
and 23. 第二十二节和二十三节。
Genesis 14:22. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.
创世纪十四章二十二到二十三节，亚伯兰对索多玛王，我已经向天地的主，至高的神耶和华起誓，凡是你的东西。就是一根线一根鞋带我都不拿，免得你说我使亚伯兰富足。
If we live a life that is constrained by the love of Christ,
如果我们过一个因基督的爱而受限制的生活，
If we already started with consecration,
如果我们已经是一个奉献的人，
If in our daily lives we daily exercise reading His word, following the Holy Spiritand all the things that we just shared about.
如果我们在每天的生活当中，我们在那里读主的话语，跟随圣灵的引导，还有我们之前所提到各样属灵的操练，
then He can let us attain His purpose.
那么我们的主会让我们来到他的目的面前。
Some of the constraints we mentioned before are actually beneficial to us.
之前我们所提到的一些约束和限制是对我们有益处的。
But that is not all there is.
但是那不是全部。
There is also constraint that benefits our Lord.
这里也有一些的限制是要我们的主来得益处。
Perhaps we don't seem to gain any benefit from this.
表面上看来我们好像没有得到什么可见的益处。
For example, take Abraham.
我们拿亚伯拉罕作为例子。
Because of the sake of God's testimony,
因着神的见证,
he did not receive the spoils from the battle that he just fought.
他不愿意在这从这场战争之中得的战利品而作为己有。
We remember the story.
我们都记得这个故事。
Lot was living in Sodom at that time.
罗德在那个时候是住在索多玛。
And there was a battle between four kings and five kings.
那里有一场征战是四王和五王的征战。
And the king of Sodom lost.
索多玛王在那场征战当中失败了。
Lot was captured along with them.
罗德被抓住了。
Abraham came to rescue Lot.
亚伯拉罕去到那里去拯救罗德。
As a side effect, he also saved the people of Sodom.
因着他去拯救罗德，也拯救了那些被索多玛王掳去的人。
So Sodom was captive.
因着他去拯救罗德，索多玛王就被抓住了。
Was released. The king of Sodom was released along with Lot.
索多玛那个国家因着罗德也得了拯救。
And, and then the king of Sodom said, you should take the spoils.
所以索多玛王就告诉亚伯拉罕说，你可以拿走这些战利品。
And the king of Sodom was not trying to be nice to Abraham.
索多玛王不是在那里好像说要表现得很友好。
He wasn't trying to do anything special.
他没有想要去特别的表现什么。
This is just how things were done during those times.
这就是当时事情的规矩。
If you go into battle and you win, you can take the spoils.
如果你在一场征战当中你赢了，你就可以拿走所有的战利品。
This is why some people go into battle.
这就是为什么有一些人去打仗。
But this is not why Abraham went into battle.
但这个原因不是亚伯拉罕去打仗的原因。
It is perfectly within Abraham's rights to take these spoils.
这绝对是亚伯拉罕的权利，他可以拿走所有的战利品。
But Abraham explained that he follows a higher constraint.
但是亚伯拉罕因着一个更高的原则，他而受到约束。
So he cannot accept these spoils.
所以他不能够接受那些战利品。
Now, right before the verses that we read,
在我们刚读到的圣经当中
right before the passage,
当我们读到圣经当中 之前
the priest Melchizedek just came and Abraham just gave him a tenth of everything.
麦基喜德来到那里，亚伯拉罕是把当中的十分之一献给麦基喜德。
Abraham, and we know Melchizedek is a type for Christ.
我们都知道麦基喜德是预表我们的主基督。
Abraham said, I'm not about to, Abraham said, I just gave a tenth to our Lord. I'm not going to turn around and replenish my supply with these spoils of war.
我们都知道亚伯拉罕已经把那十分之一献给了麦基喜德。
So he's not going to turn around and replenish the supply with the spoils of war.
所以他不会转回来再去拿走那些战利品。
My point here is not about money.
我想我在这里所提到的重点不是想说到钱。
But rather is God's testimony.
更多我想讲到的是神的见证。
Abraham for God's testimony couldn't accept these spoils.
亚伯拉罕是因着神的见证，他不能够拿那些战利品。
We know when Saul was chasing David.
我们知道当扫罗在那里追杀大卫的时候。
David had an opportunity to kill Saul.
大卫是有机会是可以杀了扫罗的。
But the only thing he did was steal a water bottle.
但大卫所做的就只有拿走了扫罗的水瓶。
Again, David could kill Saul.
我们都看到这里大卫也是可以杀扫罗的。
Because Saul is trying to kill David.
因为扫罗在那个时候是要来追杀大卫的。
But David, again, is constrained by a higher constraint.
但是大卫在这里也是被一个更高的原则而被限制住了。
He knows that Saul is anointed by God. He cannot go kill Saul himself.
他知道扫罗在神的面前是受膏的君王，所以他不能够来杀扫罗。
By following that constraint, you know how many more years David had to flee?
你知道因着被那个原则所限制当中，大卫在他的生活当中要更多经历多少年被追杀的日子。
When our Lord's constraints are in alignment with normal human thinking,
当神的限制和我们人的思想好像在那里是对齐的时候，是一样的时候。
And I would submit that it doesn't take much faith in order to follow God's constraints.
我想我们都会觉得你在这里不需要很多的信心，你就可以在那里跟从主的限制。
Because that's what you were going to do anyway.
因为即使没有那些限制，你也会那么做。
It's especially those times when God's constraints make no sense to us.
但是在有一些情况当中，神的限制对于我们来说完全的不合理。
Or perhaps it violates our rights that we think we ought to have.
也许在那里好像与我们应得的权利是完全相反的。
Or perhaps we already see the consequence of so much more suffering that we have to put up with.
我们也许已经看到，如果我们受了那样的限制，我们之后的生活是会受到多么大的苦难。
But those are exactly the times when we have an opportunity to uphold his testimony.
但是在那些时候，正是我们能够持守神见证的时候。
Let me say that it is not we have to uphold his testimony.
让我这样说，不是我们好像必须不得已去来持守主的见证。
But think of it as we get to uphold his testimony.
让我们来觉得是我们有这样一个机会能够来持守主的见证。
Think of it as an opportunity.
我们要想到它是一个机会。
That God would even allow us to be part of his testimony.
神居然允许我们在他的见证当中能够有一份。
So when the next time when these opportunities come up,
当下一次的时候我们生活再遇到这样机会的时候，
May we not choose our own will, but choose His will.
愿我们都不再拣选我们自己的意愿，而拣选他的意愿。
Let's have a word of prayer.
我们一起有一点祷告。
Lord, we thank you for being our Lord.
主，我们感谢你成为我们的主。
You're not just our Savior. We indeed want to call you our Lord.
主啊，你不只是我们的救主，我们实在愿意叫你是我们的主。
If we call you Lord, then help us really obey you.
主啊，如果我们称你为主，帮助我们能够真正的来顺服你。
That we would live a life that is constrained by your love.
主啊，我们能够真的活一个因着你的爱而受约束、受限制的生活。
That in our daily living.
在我们每天的生活当中，
that you would speak to us and we would listen.
主啊，你来向我们说话，仆人静听。
And when we have opportunities to obey you,
当我们在你面前有机会来顺服你的时候，
May you strengthen us so that we can follow your will, not using our own strength, but the strength that you have given us.
主啊，愿你加我们的力量，我们在那里跟随你所要的，而不是跟随我们所要的。
We put these things back into your hands.
主啊，我们把我们所讲的再交回到你的手中。
May you continue to teach us in our daily living.
主啊，愿你一直 在我们的生活当中教导我们。
We pray this in your holy name.
奉主耶稣基督的名祷告。
Amen. Amen.